Okay, Deacon Steve, will you go ahead and open us up in prayer tonight?
Okay. Father God, we thank you again, O Heavenly Father, for another day, Lord, and Lord, protecting us from danger, seen and unseen, Lord. We ask you to have mercy on us and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, Lord, that we commit in thought, word, or deed. Lord, as we begin this study tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just be our guide and our teacher, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for Minister Ryan, that you continue, Lord, to just bless him, Lord, and his family. Bless each one that is here on this phone call, Lord, tonight, and their families, that we all just continue, Lord, to learn more about your word. First of all, we want to say we love you, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings, and we say it all in the name of Jesus and hallelujah to your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's start off with our announcements. Let's see. Well, first off, I always like to remind you, if you ever need to call me, here's my cell phone you can reach me at. And again, for those of you who might not know, my name is Brian Ray, and my number is 678-245-4336. So that's 678-245-4336. And again, my name is Brian Ray. And each week I send out a text on Thursday as a reminder about the call. And if you'd like to be on our reminder list, all you got to do is text me at that number with your name, and I'll add you to our reminder list. And also, each week we record the call. And so if you ever miss a call, you can always go to our website to listen to the last. We keep the last five calls on the website. And here's the website. The website is www.gototabnow.com. That's www.goto. That's G-O-T-O. Tab, T-A-B, now, N-O-W.com. So always go there when you miss a call to pick up on what we covered the week before. And we've been using a book, and here's the book that we've been using each week. The book is called Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness. Again, that's Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness. And the author of that book is H. Norman Wright. And we use the September 2012 edition. There's about three editions out there. So when you go buy the book, if you haven't bought it yet, make sure you buy the September 2012. You can either get the paperback or you can get the Kindle version, or and they have it in the iTunes store, so there's a lot of different places you can get it. All right. Well, now that we've got the announcements done, let's start talking about our topic. And who remembers, I guess we're looking at chapter 5, and what is chapter 5 about? Who, as some of you who've been on the call last week have been looking at the book, chapter 5 is, what is this chapter dealing with? If you had to put it in one sentence.
Renata.
Okay, well, how you doing, Renata?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
All right. And we're waiting for somebody to kind of give us a summary of what chapter 5 is about. Pull away from the game for a second. I know some of y'all are multitasking.
Okay. Talk about language, understanding each other's language, even though you speak the same language, you're from the same country, but yet you have a different language within your household.
Right, yeah, and so we've been talking about, and the title of chapter 5 is Speak Your Spouse's Language. And so basically this chapter is talking about is how you, or if you're not married to just a couple, how the person you're married to or the person you're dating, even though you both speak English, like in our country, we both speak English, but you really speak different languages. And we talked about that last week, and that's where a lot of confusion comes in. Because you're using the same words, but your words don't mean the same thing. And so to get more on that, you know, I would say go back and read the beginning of chapter 5. That's what the beginning of chapter 5 talks about. He explains that pretty good about how we speak these different languages. And tonight what I want us to start looking at in chapter 5 is on page 80. So if you have your books, turn over to page 80. And I thought it was real interesting. He talks about communication styles. communication styles. And he's going to talk about how there's three different communication styles. So if you have your book, turn over to page 80. And we're going to see how these communication styles, how these styles, they affect our language that we use, that we speak when we're talking to each other. And so on page 80, I want to start off by reading what he said on page 80 under communication styles. He starts off by saying this. He says, consider this. We have three main senses, hearing, seeing, and feeling. These are parts of our learning styles and communication styles. We prefer one to the other two for perceiving life, storing our experiences, making decisions, and connecting with others. And then he says, how do we discover which sense we prefer? But before we look at that, I want you to think about what he's saying there. There's basically, you know, of course there's five senses, but when it comes to how we learn, we either use in our hearing, our seeing, or our feeling. So almost everybody learns using one of those three senses. And so as he said, everybody prefers one over the other. Some of us like hearing things, some of us like seeing things, and some of us are more feeling. And so we all learn in different ways. And he says, and this is what we talked about the language last week. He says, we prefer one to the other, too, for perceiving life, storing our experiences, making decisions, and connecting with others. And remember how last week we talked about one reason we speak different languages to each other is because even though we're both using English, we have different experiences. And because our experiences are different, our words can mean something totally different based on the experience that we had. Remember, I used the illustration of the biscuits, the homemade biscuits. When Sabrina and I first got married, and, you know, so we're this newlywed couple, and she was really going to pull out all the stops, and she was going to make some biscuits for breakfast. And so, but the problem came, or the issue came, when the biscuits were made, Sabrina grew up in a home where they did everything from scratch. So she brought out these homemade biscuits. I grew up in a home where my mother did everything instant. And so I was expecting Pillsbury biscuits. And so Sabrina put all this effort into making homemade biscuits, and she gives them to me. And the first thing I'm like is, what is this? I thought you were making biscuits. Because, you know, if you see those things, they look different. And I just, you know, and I literally didn't understand how those are really biscuits because I was expecting Pillsbury looking biscuits. And so we were both using the same words about a biscuit, but based on our life experiences, we had a totally different perception of what a biscuit was. You know, she thought of biscuits in terms of homemade. I thought of biscuits in terms of pop the can on the side and you pop them in the oven and you get a biscuit. And so that's what we talk. So that's that experience. You know, I experienced one thing in life. She experienced something different. And so we had a little issue there about biscuits and why I couldn't appreciate homemade biscuits the way I should have. But I'm like, well, I don't know if that's really a biscuit or not. But at any rate, but, you know, so our experiences. And so what he's talking about this week is that, you know, we learn different ways. And so I want us to start looking at what he has to say here about how we learn different ways and we communicate in different ways. And he's going to talk about the three different ways we communicate. So listen to it, and we're going to kind of discuss these things. So the first one he's going to talk about is auditory. He says, you may be an auditory husband or wife. You tend to depend upon spoken word for information, and you use auditory words. All right, so if you're an auditory person, if you learn through hearing, you tend to depend upon what's spoken for your information, and you use auditory words. Now listen to what the kind of words an auditory person would be. And think about as you're saying this, whether this might be you or whether it might be your spouse. But an auditory person, here's some words they would use. They would say something like, that sounds good to me. Another one is, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this again. People seem to tune him in when he's talking. Here's another one. I hear you clear as a bell. Another one says, tell me a little more about it. Now those are what, five things. Those are five examples that he gave. Now somebody, what do you see common in those five, in those examples that he gave there for the auditory person?
It's always pointing to what that person hears. That's how they perceive things.
Right. They perceive things based on hearing, and so when they're talking, they speak in hearing things. You know, so that's why he says that sounds good to me. You know, so they're giving it back to you the way they like hearing it. They're giving it back to you the way they like gathering their information. So if they like gathering their information by hearing, when they're giving you information, they tend to use things like that, things that relate to hearing. And now let me just ask, what we've just said, what is there anybody on the call who would say you would think you would be the auditory type learner, that you're more auditory more than anything else? Anybody on the call think they're auditory?
This is Cheryl. I say sometimes.
Okay.
Depends on the state I'm in.
Okay, depends on the state you're in.
Hmm.
All right. All right, but that's auditory. Now let's look at the next one. Okay, then the next one he gives is visual. So the visual is a person that that sees, they learn, they gather their information from what they see, how they see things. It says if you're visually oriented, you use your eyes to perceive the world, and you use visual images in remembering and thinking. You also use visual words. And notice what it says. Here's some of them. He says, I see what you're saying. And the second one is, that looks good to me. And the third is, I'm not too clear on that right now. Then another is, that sheds a new light on the problem. And then the last one he gives is, do you pick up my perspective? Now, do you see, now somebody tell me, what do you see common in those five phrases that he used, those five examples that he gave? Anybody?
I think he's talking about that he can actually see. He
right.
See, because that sounds visual.
Right. And so everything, this person, they gather their information through what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they give information back to you, when they talk to you, they tend to speak to you in ways and, you know, using words that relate to visual. Now, who on the call would say that you think, is anybody on the call think you may be visually oriented? Or if not you, if your spouse is visually oriented? Anybody think that one applies to you or maybe your spouse?
Yeah, Steve and I both for that.
Okay, both of y'all be visual?
Mm-hmm, because we use those terms a lot.
Okay. All right, anybody else? And I know I would say that I think I'm visual. I would be in that category, that visual, that I gather my information through visual. Because I know, like in my case, and Steve, you and Gay, you tell me if this is true about y'all, but like for me, if you're telling me something, a lot of times I say, if you're trying to tell me something, and I might say, well, you know, just wait till I see you. And we could talk about it in person, and you can show me what you're talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I just will not get it. You can explain it to me, you can explain it to me, but I just might miss it.
Yep.
It'll just go right over my head. But then if we're there and you can show it to me, you can show me what you're talking about, then I'll just pick up on it. And so I guess for me, one thing I've learned is a lot of times I just tell a person, no, don't explain it to me because I need to see it.
Yeah.
So that sounds like you and Gay, that sounds like you and Steve, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Okay. All right. And now let's look at this next one. I guess maybe we're going to have a whole lot of people with this next one. It says, if you are a kinesthetically oriented individual, you tend to feel your way through your experiences. So these people, they're going on feelings. It says, your feelings sort both what you experience inside as well as what comes at you from the outside. And these feelings determine your decisions. A kinesthetic spouse uses phrases such as, all right, listen to what kind of words they use. I can't get a handle on this. Another one is, I've got a good feeling about this project. And a third one is, can you get in touch with what I'm saying? And then the fourth and the last one that he gives is, I don't grasp what you're trying to do. I don't grasp what you're trying to do. Now, that's the person who's a kinesthetically oriented person in their learning. Anybody on here would say they were kinesthetic, that feeling oriented?
Yep, Renata.
Okay, Renata, so you would say you're like that?
Definitely.
Definitely. Oh, okay. All right, anybody else?
Well, I have a tendency to work with people who use those terms. I see a lot of people that I work with, they use those terms. I can't get a handle on what you want me to do. I can't get in touch with what you're saying. Those are some of the terms they use.
Right, okay. So you work with a lot of people like that. Okay. And that wouldn't be surprising because I'm not sure if we're going to see it tonight, but one statistic that he gave was that the kinesthetic type people, does anybody know about what percentage he says they make up of the population?
A whole lot.
What? Okay, somebody said a whole lot.
Can you? Is that about 60% to
70%? Oh, wait, say that again?
Is that 60% to 70%?
Yeah, 60% to 70%. Yeah, and the percentage that he gave in the book was that kinesthetic learners, they make up about 70% of the population. That's what some of the studies say.
Yep.
So that's a lot of people that learn that way. All right, and so, but now before we look at anything else, as we keep talking about this, anybody have any comments about what we're saying so far? What we're talking about? What has anybody? Now let's see. Now I know Steve, you and Gay. You said both of y'all were visual learners.
Yeah.
And then, so at least in that aspect of speaking the same language, y'all speak the same. But
yeah.
Let's see. Does anybody else? Is anybody on the line who says how you and your spouse, or you or your you speak a different language. Have any of y'all noticed that? Where you speak one and you say, well, yeah, he definitely speaks this or she definitely speaks that.
He's saying you live in the same house, you speak in the same language, but, like, you may be interpreting things different. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Because it could be, okay, what you're saying also is culturally, like you're living in the same house, you both could share, you know, the same language, of course, in terms of, you know, understanding, but based on culture, you could have culture clashes and, you know, I could say something and he could take it and understand it to be something totally different.
Right.
Right.
Because of your, like I use the illustration with me and my wife and the biscuits.
Right, with the biscuits, right, right.
We knew what a biscuit was.
Was, yeah.
I knew what a biscuit was. She knew what a biscuit was. But because we grew up in different homes, when
right.
she thought of biscuits, she thought of homemade biscuits.
Homemade, right, right.
When I thought of biscuits, I thought of instant biscuits.
Right. Right.
And that's what people, and so we have, and so with in relationships, we have that going on all the time. We're using the same words, but because our experiences are different, our families are different, we're
mm-hmm.
using the same words, but we mean something different.
Right.
And so it can cause a conflict because you
right.
might be like in my case, I'd have been like, well, Sabrina, I thought you said you were making biscuits. And
right.
when I see the biscuits, you know, and it seems funny now. You know, but I guess I was probably about 21 at the time. You know, literally when I looked at those things, I did not get the picture of a biscuit at all because that was just not what I saw. My mother didn't cook homemade biscuits. Nobody in my family cooked homemade biscuits. So I wasn't familiar with what a homemade biscuit looked like.
And then if Sabrina was a visual person, then what she saw on your face probably translated to something different, other not like you just didn't understand.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can see how, so I think y'all getting a feel for how, you know, this, we're using different languages, you know, it just starts bringing in confusion, and you're like, well, what's all the confusion about? All we're talking about is a biscuit, you know, what's so hard to understand about a, you know, what's so, you know, why are we over here going round and round about a biscuit? And have you ever noticed that in your relationship, how you like, well, man, we're spending a whole lot of time on this, and it seems like it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But it's not so simple in the sense that you're using different languages, and because you're using different languages, you're meaning different things, and so you wind up taking more time on something than you really thought you would have. And then what he's saying here is about then how, since we process things differently, you got that, not only do you have a different language, but we process it differently. And so let's just say in the case, now I don't think this would be the case, but let's just say in the case of like, if I know I'm a visual, and if Sabrina's auditory, you know, we're sitting there talking, and if she's auditory, she's going to want to explain things, right? She's going to want to talk and explain it. But with me being a visual person, that's going to be frustrating to me because I would rather see it and not hear it. And so when she's trying to explain something to me by talking, I could be getting frustrated because I want to see it. And then she's going to be getting frustrated. She could be getting frustrated because, you know, she's not getting why I don't understand what she's saying. Because she's explaining it real clearly, but I'm just not getting it. And I try to explain, then I give it back to her. And when I give it back to her, I give it to her in a visual sense, you know, using visual words, visual clues. And if that's not the way she likes learning best, then that frustration comes in from her. Is this making sense? Are you seeing why sometimes with your spouse, how these things can really, you know, these things really can get going out of hand, seems like sometimes, can't they?
Right, over a little thing.
Right, over a little thing, and it's all because you just don't speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully what will happen is, as you start realizing this concept, what we're talking about, you know, hopefully that'll take your frustration level down.
Mm-hmm.
Because you begin to think, okay, wait a minute. He doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Or she's not understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're speaking two different languages.
So do we need to learn how to speak the other language?
Yeah, you gotta. That's one thing. And like you've probably already been doing that. If you've been together with this person for a while, you're already learning how to do things differently.
So then men should understand women just a little bit better after this lesson. Is that right?
Wait, say that again. You said men should understand women a little bit better.
Yeah, it's
after
not
this
like
lesson.
We're nagging. It's that we're getting a point across. You know, and I think maybe we say it too many times. And so if the person is hearing, it sounds like nagging. But
right.
If we're a visual or we're
something that I don't. It's a disconnect there somewhere.
Yeah, and we're going to look at that more next week. That's what he calls being an expander. An expander, they like using a lot of words.
Ooh.
To explain something. And that's just how they do it. They use a lot of words, whereas a person who's not an expander, they don't want to hear a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be for next week. You can read the rest of the chapter on that. We won't get into that too much.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it, but you get an idea how, you know, you're just talking, and because you pick up on clues differently, you just start getting frustrating. But like I say, you start learning it. Say, like last week we talked about how you got to learn the other person's language.
Mm-hmm.
So see, like in the case of the biscuit. Okay, after we went through that with the biscuit, all right, then we begin to understand that, okay, biscuit. What I mean by biscuit is something different from what you mean by biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we begin to understand that. Now, at that point, I was like 21, she was 21. Now, we didn't understand, at least I didn't, she might have. I didn't understand that we were speaking two different languages. You know, I didn't understand that concept then. Only thing I would have known was, man, we both talking about biscuits, but we mean something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And so next time she says she's going to cook biscuits, you know, then I begin to understand, okay, you're going to, when you say you're going to cook some biscuits, you mean you're going to cook some homemade biscuits and not instant biscuits. You know, start putting some adjectives on it. And now let me just stop that. Wouldn't you say you've noticed, somebody can say, would you say you've noticed where you and the person you're in the relationship with, where you're doing some of those kind of things? You kind of just start doing it naturally?
Yeah,
you start doing it, but because you didn't maybe grasp the concept totally, you weren't doing it so purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now that you begin to understand the concept, you know, now you can start trying to be more purposeful behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You can start saying, well, man, I really need to learn what he means by his words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really need to learn what she means by her words.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it was kind of just haphazard. But now you purposely start trying to learn that person's language.
Mm-hmm. You think it out before, like I used to say, put brain into motion before moving mouth. And you really have to think about what you're getting ready to say and how it would affect that person with the way that they communicate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing is you got to understand how they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might not have ever, I mean, had you ever thought about the way that person communicated before? Had you ever really given that much thought before? You know, in terms of the auditory.
You didn't put it in a category. You just knew that it was different.
Yeah, you just knew it was maybe different from you or different from what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, see, we know these things in a certain sense. But it's kind of like we never really put it all together before, even though we kind of knew it.
Yeah.
But hopefully now that you understand it better, you can put it together better, and it's just going to make your conversations go better. Still going to be frustrating at times, because if you're kinetic and the other person's auditory, you know, it's going to take a while to learn that language. You don't learn that language overnight. And even if you do know the language, the other person's language better, sometimes because you're the auditory one, you're going to tend to just speak that way naturally. And you might not even be thinking about the other, you know, about how I could say it better for them, for that person who's kinesthetic. I could say it a different way for them. You might not think about that because it's just so natural for you to do it in an auditory way. And so you also run into that. All right, let me read this last little part here. It says, he says, the auditory man or woman wants to hear about life. This is how he or she learns best. And it's been suggested that 20% of our population falls into this learning style. So the auditory person is about 20% of the population. says these people relate more to sounds than sight. Reading a book, it says reading a book, the auditory person hears words silently rather than seeing pictures. If your partner is auditory, don't expect him or her to notice a new article of clothing, hairdo, room arrangement, or plants in the yard. You need to tell your partner more than show. The spouse prefers talking about something to looking at it. Long conversations are important, and the auditory tends to remember what they hear better than others. Now, does that make sense? He says, if your partner is auditory, don't expect him or her to notice a new article of clothing, hairdo, room arrangement, or plant in the yard.
That's horrible.
Now that you understand that concept, doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Because they're not visually, they don't get the information from visually, and so you got this new hat, and they're auditory, and they don't pay it any attention. You know, they don't notice it because they're not visually stimulated as much. It's not that they don't get visual at all, but that's not how they gather their information best. And so you got this new hat, and they don't notice it as much. And then what happens? You start getting frustrated. Like, you don't see this hat? I went out and picked this hat and did this, and you didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Now, for the auditory person, now, this is probably not what you would do, but for the auditory person, what do you think you could do to get them to notice that hat?
Tell them about it.
Wait, say that again? Okay, tell them about it. Okay, other than, what's another way other than telling them, because you would have to tell them about it, that's true, but what's another way other than telling them about it? And it's not something you would really do, but it just, what do you think you would do to get them to notice the hat? The auditory person.
Would you have to actually show them or point it out to say, this is my new hat? Something like that.
Well, not the showing part, because they're auditory, so the showing, but here's what I was thinking. You know, if you had a sound coming from the hat. Like, I mean, you wouldn't really do this, but think about it. You know, they're auditory, right?
Okay.
So they pick up on things by going through their ears. So if you had sounds coming from your hat, let's say if you had a little bird sound coming from your hat,
okay,
do you think they would notice it more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Oh, you're real crazy, Brian.
Okay, I said it's not what you would really do,
yeah,
but I'm just trying to get you to see an auditory person, they would pick up on that better, though, right?
Yeah.
Because they pick up on things that they hear rather than what they see.
So then you would bring out the box with the new hat in it. Let it ruffle whatever the paper and say, look, can you do it like that?
Yeah, because now you're playing it to what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that rustling, now they're hearing something.
Or you could put a little bell on the hat.
Okay.
You know, they're expensive. Oh, my goodness.
All right, and so what I was just trying to do is to get you to thinking, like I said, I don't know what your spouse, your partner is, but just trying to get you to think, you know, what are some things you're going to have to do to try to get them to notice it? Instead of being so frustrated with them about, oh, you didn't see my hat, you didn't notice my hat, it's the auditory. You say, oh, they didn't notice the hat because they're auditory. It's not that they were just trying to ignore it, but they pick up on things differently. And you might have, so you got to help them to notice the hat in a way that they pick up on things.
That's interesting.
And here's the last paragraph that we're going to look at tonight. He says, if you want to share feelings with the auditory spouse, the auditory spouse will best understand it if you verbalize your feelings. Mm-hmm. Auditory people hear equally what is said and not said, and they're astute at picking up tonal changes and voice inflections. Harsh responses may be upsetting to them, and the telephone is an important part of their lives. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that thing about feelings, you know, it says, I kind of like, it says if they're, you know, if you want them to pick up on your feelings, you know, you'd be best to explain your feelings to them. Instead of just, you know, and now think about it. If you're that kinetic person where you're very feeling-oriented, you know, that's just a natural part of you, and you're dealing with a person who's auditory, I could imagine that would be very frustrating for that kinetic person. Because, you know, because they would just expect you to pick up on their feelings, but the auditory person wouldn't. For them to really get your feelings, they would get it quicker and better if it was explained to them how you're feeling.
Wow. That's some work.
Yeah, I know it's some, but relationships are work.
Yes.
Relationships are work. And unfortunately, a lot of times people aren't willing to put forth that work.
Mm-hmm.
Because to really communicate, because as you all can see, to really communicate where you're understanding each other, you're having to put a lot of work into it. And
yeah.
People just don't want to do that sometimes. They just don't want to put all that work into that communication process. And so things just start breaking down and falling apart because they aren't willing to do that work.
Mm. Okay.
All right, well, any other closing comments before we end the call tonight? Next week we're going to look more. Tonight we talk more about the auditory person. Next week we're going to look more at the kinesthetic and the visual person.
Okay.
Does anybody have any closing comments before we end the call tonight? So I'm going to say here's a project for you, and you probably already know what you are. Well, if you don't think you know what you are, think about what we've been talking about and see what you are. But then at the same time, think about what your other half is. So figure out what you are and figure out what your other half is. And start
mm-hmm.
thinking about those dynamics based on some of the things we've been talking about. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the call. And looking forward to next week's call and talking about these concepts some more. And so we'll give everybody a chance to say good night, and we'll see you again next. Or, yeah, there I go again with my visual, right? See you again next week on the call.
Everybody. You all have a good weekend.
Falcon.
All right. Bless. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all have a great night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.